whole story of Christmas that we hear throughout the season. The folks of the time, 2,000 years ago, when it all started, expected God to do something. They expected God to send a Messiah. That's what all the prophecies said. A Saviour. It was in the prophecies that we now call the Old Testament. But what God actually did, nobody ever expected. So what was it that God did? Well, to start with, God chose a virgin called Mary to become pregnant with his son. God went against everything that was acceptable in society 2,000 years ago and acceptable today. He chose an unmarried teenage girl to bear his son. We're told in Luke's Gospel that Mary, that girl, asked the angel who set it all up, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary realised that she was going to end up pregnant, yet couldn't fathom how this could be without the man being involved. And the angel that God had sent to explain everything told Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary was quite right. There was no man involved. Only God. This is all part of our sometimes romanticised Christmas story. A story that ends up on Christmas cards and looks very snowy and wonderful. But just consider for a moment how fantastic and amazing this actually is. God was directly getting involved in the world that he created, and sending his son into that world to be born and to develop like any normal baby of a young mum. Now that is quite, surely quite astonishing, incredible, and somewhat awesome. If you were God and sending your son into the world, how would you have done it? Perhaps you'd have sent him fully grown so he could cope with everything, with an army of heavily armed bodyguards with sunglasses on, big black suits. But God was to send his son into the world in a way that nobody expected. And we know that Mary was already lined up to be married to a chap called Joseph. She was betrothed, or in modern terms, engaged. This was an arranged marriage, probably planned since Mary was a small child. And Joseph would have been older than Mary, and as you can imagine, was a little kind of off colour, shall we say, when he discovered his future wife was suddenly pregnant. Imagine how betrayed, angry, and upset Joseph must have felt when he heard that Mary was pregnant. Even so, it seems that Joseph was one of the good guys of the first century. And we are told in Matthew's Gospel that Joseph did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, in other words, had decided to walk away from his betrothal to Mary, to walk away from his prearranged marriage contract. After all, how could he ever trust Mary to be faithful to him? she must surely have been with another man. Yet God had other ideas, as God always does, and sent an angel right into Joseph's mind, into his dreams. And he was told, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, God wasn't messing about. His son was coming into the world as a normal, vulnerable baby, and his son needed an earthly stepdad to provide for him. If a family didn't have a man to work and put food on the table in the first century, then the family often didn't eat and often didn't have anywhere to live. Once again, God had intervened in the world. He instructed Joseph to marry Mary. Isn't that amazing? God even told Joseph that Jesus was to be called Jesus, because Jesus was going to save God's people from their sins. And that's what the word means. That's what the name means. God saves. God had again done what nobody expected. "For God, and you had sent your son into the world to be born as a baby, which would put him in almost immediate risk. Because God did. God chose this time for Mary to be pregnant with Jesus, and knowing that she would have an arduous journey to undertake from Nazareth to Bethlehem, all to comply with the Roman law, the Roman census law. They had to travel to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem to register in the Roman census. A journey on foot, maybe, as the Christmas card shows, on donkey, of up to 80 miles. 4 or 5 days of journeying and sleeping outdoors for a heavily pregnant lady. And all this in the days just before Mary is going to give birth. How extraordinary. That's what God set up. Prophecies all said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But nobody expected him to travel 80 arduous miles in his month to achieve it. God had done what nobody expected. So if you were God and you wanted to announce that your son had just been born, how would you choose to do it? Who would you choose to tell? Kings, governments, ambassadors, news media? In fact, you'd get it plastered all over the internet, send out your Twitter feed. Well, God chose some of the most pongy and lowly people to tell. People most folks tended to avoid. These people slept outdoors in the fields and smelled heavily of sheep and other things. God chose the Bethlehem shepherds. God went all out with the publicity to those shepherds. A choir of angels filled the sky with a star performance. And an angel was sent directly to the shepherds, right to their campfire, to tell them the details of the birth of Jesus. How amazing! Never before or since has God sent a choir of angels to fill the night sky. But then I guess his son coming into the world as a vulnerable baby was also a wild event. God chose the pongy shepherds to be the first people to go and see the newborn Jesus. same shepherds who, when they had seen him, we are told, spread the word about concerning him, what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds had become a well-chosen, if slightly off-putting, marketing team. They went and told everybody they could find, and God had done what nobody expected. If you were God and you had sent your son into the world, wouldn't you want him to be born in a posh, clean hospital, where he could receive the best of care? Just like our royal family have their babies in posh private hospitals. The Son of God had no such privileged start, because Joseph, as we all know, couldn't find a hotel room in the whole of Bethlehem. So the family were consigned to a stable with straw, animals, and all their various odours, discomfort and uncleanliness. Jesus was born, and what we call a manger, an animal feeding trough, served as his first bed. The Son of God had the lowest of beginnings in the world, and God had done again what nobody expected. The theme of the unexpected was the theme of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus was the one who had nowhere to lay his head, the king who had no palace, the Messiah, but a Messiah who served and not one who ruled. He was an unexpected kind of Messiah. He was a saviour, but not one who served, saved with an army, as was expected. He saved through the sacrifice of his own death on the cross, a Roman instrument of torture. How unexpected was that? He wasn't a superhero who couldn't die. He was a superhero who died, bearing the weight of the world's sin, and then rose from the dead undefeated by that sin. Jesus is the saviour who profits from his position and allocates blame for his treatment in the world. Instead, Jesus continues the trend of the unexpected, and he offers all of us forgiveness and new life for free. He offers a new start, a rebirth. He offers to change us from the inside, to make us new people. God did the unexpected in Jesus, and God can do the unexpected in our lives this Christmas. And all we have to do is ask him. And it goes something like this: Lord Jesus, do the unexpected in my life this Christmas. Forgive my sin and make me a new person. Lord Jesus, do the unexpected in my life this Christmas. Forgive my sin and make me a new person.